Good morning and welcome to this service of worship, which will be led by our minister, Leslie Charlton. A particular welcome to visitors, anyone worshipping here for the first time, you're very welcome. After the service, refreshments are served, and that's in the hall behind in the direction I'm pointing, it's out the door, turn right. You'd be welcome to have tea and coffee there. After this service, there is interactive worship, which is held at 11:30, and Sally Butler will be leading that service. Now, this evening, there's no service here. Instead, we're all invited to, hope you'll join us. It's a combined service at New Malden URC, and this is a special event because Sukin is being inducted as Special Category Minister for Korean Liaison. So, a big effort. Please try to come along and support Sukin in that. That would be great. Moving on to pastoral and personal news. Helen Johnson is out of hospital, but please pray for her and Alan. Please keep them in your prayers. Bron Robinson, good news, completed a 26-mile walk on behalf of the cancer charity Shine. And into this week, we have a Monday service. I think details are in the service paper, but there's a service on Monday evening. And on Tuesday, Rose has asked me to mention that the worship group will be meeting. That's Tuesday, the 4th of October. She's apologising because there's been a little bit confusion about that date, but Tuesday, 4th October, the worship group will be meeting 8 o'clock in room 3. And please also have in your thoughts pilots, which has begun but is still taking shape. That will be meeting again this week. And next Saturday, it's a busy week this, but next Saturday at 10 in the morning, there's a flower workshop in connection with the Harvest Festival. So please come along at 10 a.m. There'll be tea and there'll be refreshments to encourage you, but that's going ahead. And of course, on Saturday evening, Saturday the 8th at 7 p.m., we have a Harvest Supper and Show. Now, there's still tickets for this, lots of tickets, and I know Ray Charlton, probably others, are available to buy tickets. So please see him and support that. That's next Saturday at 8 o'clock. Next Sunday, we have Harvest Service. In the service paper, details of what you might bring along to support that. And next Sunday afternoon, I'll make a mention that there's a workshop, a talk and discussion Ulrika Erasmus is holding connection with welcoming, and everyone is invited. The Link Romania shoebox appeal is still going ahead. The last day for returning boxes is Sunday, 23rd October. If you're still looking to fill up the boxes, please go into the Mayo Hall after the service, where there's some soft toys and other items available for you to use. I hope I've mentioned everything. Pardon? Thank you.
Let us join to worship God. Bring us back, Almighty God. Show us your mercy, and we will be saved. We join to sing, All Creatures of Our God and King, and we are only singing verses 1, 2, 3, and 7. We join to sing. Have a seat. And if you're sitting there thinking, why didn't we sing my favourite verse on that hymn? There you are. You've got a prayer resource for the week. Dig it up. Use it. But for now, let us pray. As the gardener prepares and clears the ground for the vine, so that it may grow and produce good fruit, help us, O God, as we prepare to meet you in worship, that we too may grow and be fruitful. God of word and wisdom, God of image and imagination, God of our head and of our heart, as we approach you in worship, may we find you in new and old, familiar and strange, challenge and comfort. For you are creative, and we give you thanks for the rich resources of images that we find in our scriptures. We thank you for the skill of writers and prophets, of poets and songwriters, past and present, who encourage and challenge us. Those who use metaphor and image so that we would catch more of a sight of you, O God. And we thank you too for the gift of imagination. Forgive us for those times when we have been closed in our expectations of you. Bless us, Lord Jesus, for we are your people, and we pray in your name. Amen. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Do not bring us the time of trial, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now, as always, there's loads going on. And next Sunday, which is the harvest, at the end of the service, if you've got a chance to hang around, I would value a moment just to talk to you about, just get you up to speed about some of the things that are going on, particularly some news about the contact centre and also about the food bank. And you'll notice that on the notices, it says that the gifts of food in tins and packets that you're going to bring next week, we're going to bring next week, are going to Kingston Church's Action on Homelessness and to the food bank. How does that work? What's going to happen is that in time, the food bank is going to take responsibility for holding a store of food for the people of Kingston. And that one of the places where people can go to get a voucher so they can get some food will be Kingston Church's Action on Homelessness. So I'll be telling you more about that next week if you've got the time to stay. So next week when we gather to celebrate the harvest, it's not that suddenly the harvest happens so we celebrate it. It's a time for us to just spend a moment to open our eyes and to give thanks for something that we enjoy every day. Thanks be to God for the food of the earth, for the creation, for the sun, for the rain, and for us people who live in this temperate climate. We have a lot to be thankful for. And that business about just spending a moment, opening your eyes, taking time to be thankful, That's part of what we do when we gather on a Sunday too. It's not that God is not present in all the rest of our lives. God isn't around and interested on a Monday. It's that this time reminds us that all time is God's. Just to give a moment to open our eyes and to recognize God who is around us. We're going to sing Make Way, Make Way. And if you know the echo, I encourage you to sing it. We join to sing. This reading from Matthew's Gospel is big, serious stuff. And any of you who are very new to the faith, I would just ask you to do a bit of work on this. Jesus is picking up a very well-known metaphor from the Old Testament. Vineyard is a well-known story from Isaiah, from the psalmists. And here he gives it a bit of a major twist and points his finger. And Ray Erskine will read this passage to us.
The readings from Matthew chapter 21, reading from verse 33. Listen to another parable, Jesus said. There was once a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a hole for the winepress, and built a watchtower. Then he let out the vineyard to tenants and went on a journey. When the time came to gather the grapes, he sent his slaves to the tenants to receive his share of the harvest. The tenants seized his slaves, beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, the man sent other slaves, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. "Surely they will respect my son," he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the owner's son. Come on, let's kill him, and we will get his property." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. "Now, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" Jesus asked. "He will certainly kill those evil men," they answered, "and let the vineyard out to other tenants, who will give him his share of the harvest at the right time." Jesus said to them, "Haven't you ever read what the scriptures say? The stone which the builders rejected as worthless turned out to be the most important of all. This was done by the Lord. What a wonderful sight it is. And so I tell you," added Jesus, "the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce the proper fruits." The chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables and knew that he was talking about them. So they tried to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowds who considered Jesus to be a prophet. Amen.
So as I've already said, this is grown-up stuff. And it's one of those passages that you might have an inclination to gloss over as quickly as possible. Or is it like the rest of it, something to say to Christians like us today? As a general rule, when you're reading a parable, you think to yourself, what is the one message that this story is trying to get over to me? What is the one thing that it is trying to say? That's your usual way of reading a parable. Because the more you think, oh, well, that means that, and that means that, and that means that, the more likely you are to get into all sorts of wacky interpretation. So step away from the allegory, except for this. Because from this text, it is clearly that, you know, this means that, and that means that, and that means that. But it's unusual. It's not the usual way that you interpret stories from Jesus. This is a story that, however it started off, recorded in Mark's Gospel, Matthew's Gospel, it's also in the Gospel according to Thomas, which is not in the Scriptures. And it's become more and more layered and got more and more complex, probably because it was a difficult text and they didn't know how to deal with it. So Jesus picks up again the metaphor of vineyard, which he uses in other places, but he doesn't explain it here or anywhere. We don't know when he uses vineyard, what he's talking about. We can make our assumptions, but here it is. So what is this story saying, and who is it saying it to? First thing to say, the usual rules of interpretation of the scriptures apply, which is, when you hear a bit of the text and you think, oh, well, that reminds me of the, and that makes me think of the, you're not wrong. Your interpretation might be a bit particular to you, but you're not wrong. Because it's the scriptures and the Holy Spirit's at work, and you might well have something to offer to all the rest of us, and we might need to hear it. But the scholars haven't gone to work on the text. The usual interpretation is that those who are being addressed are the leaders, the Jewish leaders of the community, religious leaders of the community. And the usual interpretation is that the vineyard is Israel, the owner of the vineyard is God, the messengers were the prophets, The tenants, the religious leaders of the people, and the son is Jesus himself. And this is the first time that Jesus calls himself the son. And it could be that this is the text that Caiaphas has heard about when Jesus comes to trial. So what did this story mean to those early hearers who were around about when Jesus told this story? What did it mean to them? Well, it depends on who you were. If you were one of the religious leaders, then you were hearing this story and you were getting more and more hot under the collar. More and more angry. You know, our standard patter is more and more angry about your position in society being taken away from you. But it could be more and more concerned about the fact that these people are being led astray. By this man who claims to be the Son of God. If you were one of the people who was not one of the religious leaders, then maybe you're cheering inside. You're thinking, go, Jesus, yes, you're right. You need a right good telling off, right good slapping. Yes! Or it might be you're a bit cynical and you're hearing this thing thinking, all these religious, all they do is squabble among themselves. I'm having nothing to do with it. I am gone. What is such a story? If those who are the writers of the Gospels collected material, they collected it, believing it was Jesus' material, but believing it had something to say to succeeding generations. What did they think we should be getting from such a text? God sets up the vineyard and leaves the tenants to tend it. He doesn't order them about. He doesn't give them tight rules as exactly how it should be. God gives freedom of choice. God gives freedom of choice. We are not forced to obey. We can behave badly. The landlord sets up the vineyard but is not there to do the daily pruning. Somebody else is expected to do that. Somebody else is expected to do the work of tending the vineyard. It could have looked as though the landlord had abandoned the vineyard. But the landlord could quite rightly say, actually, do you know what? I've got tenants in there and this is their job. They're meant to be doing it. In our time, I think we are the tenants of the vineyard. And looking after the vineyard is our job. So all that pruning and what, you know, do you know me in gardening? It's very difficult for me to come up with any metaphors about gardening, but I'll try my best. All that pruning and weeding and tending, all that, that's our job. And what that means for every single one of us, that's between us and the Holy Spirit to work it out. But as part of the church community, part of being one of God's people, then there's going to be a call in our life in terms of what we're expected to do. Might be in the church, might be in our work, might be in your home, might be in the community more broad than that, might be with your neighbours, who knows? The other thing to say about the story is that it might look as though the landlord has gone and abandoned the vineyard and, you know, just who cares about the vineyard? Just get on with it. That is not how it is. It might look like that. Just take it on a wee bit. It might feel like that, but it is not how it is. That the landlord has set up a system. The final thing I would pull from this story is, if we are, in our contemporary understanding, the tenants whose job it is to look after the vineyard, and it's about a vineyard, so it's about pruning and cutting and weeding and all that stuff, we do not help people if we do not educate them for the fact that things in life have consequences. If you actually love somebody, then sometimes you have to educate them to the fact that things that they do have consequences. And I'm not talking about eternal, what's that phrase they use? Eternal conscious punishment. I'm not talking any of that nonsense. I'm talking about life on the earth. And if we are concerned about people, if we want them to blossom and flourish and produce fruit, then sometimes we have to be involved in giving the energy and the time to the whole pruning and gardening thing as well. You, of course, would have wisdom and insight about how you hear that story and what you would contribute in a discussion about it. But it teaches us that love is demanding, not about feelings. It teaches us that Jesus, who dies on the cross, calls his followers to a life of daily service. It also says that God is interested and committed to us, whatever it feels like sometimes. Let us be silent together. Next Sunday is World Mental Health Day, and in view of the fact that it coincides with our harvest, I'm going to use the prayers of intercession around the whole issue of mental health. I'm going to use them now. The bidding from me, hear our prayer, the response, and pour out your peace. Hear our prayer and pour out your peace. And pour out your peace. Let us pray. Lord our God, for those whose lives are strained and stressed, hear our prayer and pour out your peace. For those whose hold on life is fragile, hear our prayer and pour out your peace. For those whose illness makes them vulnerable, hear our prayer and pour out your peace. For those whose families struggle to understand them, hear our prayer and pour out your peace. For families and friends, nurses, doctors and therapists, for those who walk alongside the stressed and strained, the vulnerable and the fragile, hear our prayer and pour out. Lord our God, for those whose lives are in turmoil through the effects of mental illness, hear our prayer and pour out. Lord, we pray. Amen. So let us continue our worship as we make our offering. Let us pray. Eternal God, we come with these gifts to offer our sacrifice of praise and the service of our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Christian people, raise your song. If you're using a hymn book, it's number 435. We join to sing. Vineyard, a familiar metaphor of the Old Testament. The vineyard which God has created and cherished, and part of our understanding of church. A vineyard, a place of harvests, where there is bounty and amazing things happen through the natural processes. A vineyard where the mysterious is at work. How does water and seed and sun and soil produce grape? And how is it that the grapes of 1998 are so much better than the grapes of 1972? And how does it all work at all? The mysterious, the generous, and the abundant God welcomes us here. Our hard work, our allowing God to shape our lives, is not our ticket to entry, though it is a sign of our commitment, our response to the one who has loved us first. Hear the narrative of the institution of the Lord's Supper as it was recorded by the Apostle Paul. I received from the Lord, which I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and following his example, we take bread and this cup and we give thanks. Let us pray. God, our teacher, we thank you that you reach into our lives not only through instruction and commandment, not only through prophetic word and the psalmist's praise, but also through small and intriguing stories. We thank you for surprising endings and familiar characters, for powerful narratives and twisting plots, for the telling again and again, and the delight of code and symbol, of mystery and wonder. We thank you for the stories and the metaphors that we encounter day by day, for the people who tell us. Open our eyes that we would be good readers, and that seeing we would perceive, and hearing we would understand, and then understanding we would act on your word. Open our eyes to see you in bread and wine, to understand that you have given your life for us and offer your love poured out in generosity. Open our eyes to see your ability to change and transform bread and even us. May this bread be for us as the body of Christ, this wine as the blood of Christ. May we know you, Lord Jesus, present with us now. Thanks be to you, O God. Amen. Some technical things before we go any further. The bread which the elders will offer you where you are sitting, when you get the plate, you'll see that there's some bits of biscuit on that. That's for those of us who have issues about wheat and gluten. Please eat and join with us. When you get the bread, you eat it. The wine which the elders will bring to you has no alcohol in it. So for those of us who have issues with alcohol, you can drink at this table. And the way that we do Holy Communion here is we hold the glasses, and in time we will all drink together. The Lord Jesus, at supper with friends, took bread, broke it, and said, "This is my body. It is broken for you." This is the Lord's table, and all are welcome here. The body of Christ. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This is my blood. It is shed for you." Thank you. the blood of Christ shed for us. Loving God, may this time at this table give us grace as Christians in the world that people seeing and hearing us may find us gentle and just, honest and generous, encouraging and supportive. May this table help us to make our lives so attractive that our faith in you may be seen as creative and beautiful, and the words we speak may open people's minds to your great reconciling word, which we have received in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, when you look at the words of the hymn that we're going to sing, there's no reason at all why we usually sing it at Christmas time. We're going to sing Joy to the World, which you'll find at number 135. It's Mark's choice. 1, 3, 5. Place to love and to serve the Lord, and the blessing of God the Almighty, the Creator, the Son, and the Spirit be with us for now, forever. Amen.